So here's to all of the good thinkers, and here's to the lonely drinker. But don't you know, let this moment pass.
Hello, folks. My name is Jason Spies, and I'm an award-winning multimedia journalist and then the host of the Crude Life Media Network and podcast. Thank you, folks, for tuning in to The Crude Life, a place for expert interviews, full-length features, and specialty programs. And it is all thanks to our fine sponsors. Be loyal to our sponsors. They keep the program free and literally keep our lights on.
So here's to watching the clocks of our grandfathers, and here's to stopping and picking flowers, and here's to not letting this moment pass you by.
Kathleen Scammell with Western Energy Alliance. I'm the Vice President of Government and Public Affairs.
Let's start off by talking a little bit about your organization, what it is you guys do, what you guys are trying to accomplish, and how it kind of started.
So we have been around since 1974. We are a trade association representing over 300 companies engaged in all aspects of environmentally responsible oil and natural gas development. We cover the West, so North Dakota, South Dakota on West. We purposefully leave off California. So we, you know, we work on promoting the benefits of domestic energy production, as well as helping our members navigate environmental, legislative, and other federal issues that affect the industry.
Okay, great. So wanted to talk a little bit today about BLM auctions, and then also, are you guys following the pipeline protest here in North Dakota? What do you guys make of that as an organization? Have you guys come out with anything official on that protest in North Dakota? Are you keeping your hands out of it, I guess? Just kind of, just as an organization, I guess, where are you guys at?
Well, you know, it is such a volatile situation that I think it's best to wait and see what the facts are. It's getting a little crazy up there. When you look at, you know, the documents from court and the facts in the case, clearly the company building this pipeline, you know, won in court because of the fact that careful analysis was done. The tribal consultation was initiated but basically ignored by the tribe. And now, instead of engaging in that process, people have just taken to burning tires and cars and confronting police and trespassing on private land. So that situation is probably a little too volatile right now to say much more on. But I think it points to why the Bureau of Land Management is nervous about the safety of its employees when it comes to lease sales. You saw, we saw the director of BLM making a connection between protests of lease sales and the standoff in Oregon several months ago, because, you know, government officials are trying to engage in lawful activity and protesters, really pumped full of a lot of misinformation, are starting to, you know, be disruptive. And even in the case of Dakota Access Pipeline protesters, you know, getting violent. So I think BLM and other federal agencies are rightfully worried.
You mentioned something about lease, BLM lease auctions. They're protesting there. I guess I wasn't aware of this. Are you talking about similar protesting that's going on in North Dakota? Maybe not to the scale of tire burnings and that sort of thing, but where they actually kind of set up camp and that sort of thing? Is that happening with BLM auctions?
No, not setting up camps. So North Dakota leases are sold in Montana. There's a combined BLM office for Montana and the Dakotas that is in, you know, that's in Montana. So I haven't heard of any protests necessarily at that office, but there have been protests in Utah, Colorado in particular, where they have disrupted the auctions, and smaller ones in Wyoming as well.
And so what we're seeing, I guess, is with these protests that are happening, I'm looking at it like it's made quite a financial impact in a lot of different ways. You know, obviously you've got the pipelines themselves not being constructed. So anytime you have construction being delayed, you've got a cost there. But just even pipes in the ground that are now more valuable because of some of the protesting that's being done into environmentalism, I guess. What are you hearing, or what are you guys looking at in terms of the finance side of things with this whole protest with everything that's happening?
Well, I can't speak to the specifics of the pipeline's particular finances at all, but you know, we have a situation where for several years now there has been more oil produced in the Bakken in North Dakota and Montana than there is pipeline capacity. So companies have taken to putting that on rail or putting it on trucks and transporting that way while the pipeline infrastructure catches up. But really, you know, there are 2.4 million miles of pipelines in the United States. Transporting oil via pipeline is much safer, more environmentally friendly, more protective of public health than putting it on a truck or a rail car. So, and pipelines, and this one in particular, you know, has to go through environmental analysis, went through all that. They have to use the latest technology. And that those new pipelines are even more safe. You know, you think about 2.4 million miles of pipeline, and how often do you hear of any accidents? Not too much when you look at how much product is, you know, pushed through the entire United States every day. So, you know, those pipelines are built in a way that is protective of the environment. But that information has been completely lost in, you know, once the camp started getting set up and the protesters and rioters and saboteurs started their work. And so we've really seen a situation when misinformation about the process and how we get energy and how we deliver that, you know, it's been lost in all the shuffle.
Now, getting back to the BLM, taking a step back with some of the protesting that's going on and just some of the, we'll just call it the volatile emotions that can come with public land, fossil fuel, combination of the two, and it's extremely volatile. I saw where they're going to be doing some online auctions. Are you aware of this? Are you guys endorsing this? Are you not endorsing it? Are you talking at all about the online auctions that the BLM appears to be moving towards?
Yeah, we've definitely been pushing BLM to move forward with auctions, online auctions. You know, eBay has been around for about 15 years or so. This is not new technology, and this is BLM simply moving forward with the latest technology. We did take the opportunity when there were several protests of lease sales where protesters, you know, get their signs on, they put on funny hats or whatever, and in one case fish heads, I don't know, whatever, but, and they purposefully disrupted a sale in Utah and had to be thrown out. There was a sale in Colorado where about 300 protesters rushed the doors of the BLM venue and tried to shut it down. And so we did suggest to BLM that, you know, look, instead of having to deal with this circus when trying to conduct a lawful activity, the Mineral Leasing Act requires BLM to hold quarterly lease sales in every oil and gas state. You know, when you're seeing these protesters trying to disrupt those online those auctions, you know, a good solution is stop paying for additional security forces, stop paying for new venues where you have to, you know, put in security. Just go to known technology that everybody uses for, you know, everything from buying sneakers to whatever. Just, you know, use today's technology. Now, that does not mean that the public cannot participate in the leasing process. There are three points at which BLM accepts public comments on every parcel that's offered for sale, and so that will continue. The public could still engage in that process, but let's just move to today's technology.
Would there still be a physical sale, or would it be online only?
It would be online only.
And is there anything to, would this open up to more buyers potentially, less buyers potentially? You know, anytime you make a move like that, it's one thing, but I could see where, you know, it would open up to people outside of that physical area. Where on the flip side, I'm sure people have business models in place where people go to those all the time and buy them at the physical place. So in anything as far as opening up new buyers or closing the door on current buyers?
Absolutely. This is projected to bring in more revenue to BLM and therefore to the American taxpayer, because those revenues go to the state and federal treasuries. By not requiring people to physically travel, more people should be engaged, you know, should be able to engage in that online bidding process. And that will only, you know, more competition will help increase the rate of return to BLM.
Okay, and was there anything else that you wanted to comment on today at all in terms of just kind of what we've been talking about? Anything we'd missed? Anything that you want to make sure we talk about?
I think, well, we talked about, you know, the connection about protests. Well, I guess, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit about the Keep It In The Ground movement and others who are just trying to stop all oil and natural gas development at all. You know, the misinformation about what powers our economy, what heats your home, and what provides electricity means that people think that we should just stop producing oil and gas. Well, if we did that, we don't have any other energy means that can heat our homes and provide reliable 24/7 electricity. So what would happen if we stopped producing it here in America? We would lose jobs, we'd lose economic development, and we would just import that from overseas, import our oil and natural gas from overseas. So that means we'd be sending hundreds of billions of dollars out of the country. That just doesn't make sense from an economic standpoint. And we developed oil and gas here in the United States more environmentally responsibly than anywhere else in the world. Our environmental standards are stringent for pipelines, for drilling wells, for all aspects of development. And so if we don't develop it here, we're bringing it in from overseas where it has more environmental impact. It just doesn't make sense.
And here's to the sound of one hand clapping, and here's to not letting this moment pass. And here's to carrying the weight of the world. And here's to screaming, yeah, never being heard. And here's to not letting this moment pass.
My name is Otis, and I am the host of the Kids in Capitalism KidCast. Let me tell you about one of our sponsors. Hatch Realty is in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Call Eric Hatch or anyone on the Hatch Realty team with any real estate question. They want to be a resource and connection for you. That's Hatch Realty, 701-212-1572. That's 701-212-1572. Hatch Realty in the business of helping people. They just happen to sell real estate. Hatch Realty, tell them Otis sent you.
Since 1979, MBI Energy Services has committed to responsibly growing with today's oil and gas industry by providing proven experience, strategic locations, and integrated services. MBI Energy Services is well established, and its innovation in safety and excellent customer service is what truly makes MBI Energy Services the oil field service professionals. MBI Energy Services, the cutting edge in oil field safety solutions. Learn more at MBIEnergyServices.com.
Oil and gas industry is coming back, and you need a source to keep up to date on the industry. Check out Oil Man, the magazine for leaders in the American energy industry. Each issue gives you a competitive edge with the latest oil and gas news. In addition to the news and analysis, the Oil Man brings you exciting features, publishes photos from yesteryear that chronicle the history of the oil and gas industry. Visit oilman.com to learn more and subscribe today. That's theoilman.com.